So let's go to the Word of God tonight, and let's open our Bibles in the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Malachi chapter 3. Let's read from verses 1 to verse 6. And if you have found a place, shall you all please stand if you are willing and able as we give honor to the Word of God. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And let's read it all together from verse number 1. Okay, ready? Go. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against idolaters, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and fatherless, that turn aside the stranger. Fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'll be taking the verse as our text tonight. Verse number 6, it says there, for I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. Let's pray. Our most precious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. Once again, Lord, I ask your help, Lord, to be with me. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit, O God, that whatever is said and done tonight, O Lord, it will be according to your will. Just open our hearts. It will be receptive of your word tonight, O God. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Verse number 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. We are in the age of change. Technology changes almost every 6 months, not even a year. When cell phones was introduced in the market, I had a first. I was still working, so I had a small one. And we had a meeting in our company, and because I was the one who have it, so I put it on the table and make it play to show everybody that I have the latest technology. But the phones now are getting bigger. From smaller, come bigger. So we are in the age of change. Fashions changes. We can see the fashion of the world. No good. It's getting before somewhere here, and now it's getting up. There was a preacher, he said, as an illustration, oh, that lady is so, maybe very godly, because she wears her skirts was down to this level. But when she turned, the slit was, oh no. Fashion change. Behavior change. Even the school's curriculum, they change. Religion change. Churches nowadays, they change. I mentioned that this morning. They have the song, we call it 7-11. 7 words repeated 11 times. Changes. The way they worship. When you come to the churches nowadays, they have don't look like a church. It look like a theater. They have the smoke. They have the lasers. Instead of song leader, they have the worship team leader. They have the worship team. It changes. Everything are changing. But our verse, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." How blessed it is, right? We have a God that changes not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Are you thankful that we have a changeless Christ? The title tonight, the message is, "The Changeless Christ." Number one, He never changes the way of salvation. He never changes the way of salvation. Salvation is still by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We don't have to work for our salvation because it has already been paid. It is done. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ in the cross of Calvary, His last words was, "It is finished." That's it. Complete. Paid in full. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that was the payment for our sins. There's a song that says, "Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow." Sin had left a crimson stain. That sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus' blood washed it white as snow. It's already been done. Salvation requires a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they bring those lambs to offer for that sacrifice. But that sacrifice was already made on the cross of Calvary. He paid our sins. Jesus is still the same. He never changes the way of salvation. It is still true by grace through faith. And if you need to be saved today, if you are not yet 100% sure of your salvation, you have not yet ever in your life that you have acknowledged that you are a sinner and that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that tonight. Jesus is still the same. He never changes the way of salvation. Believers in Christ, we need to tell the world, the lost and dying, that we have an unchanging Christ that does not change. He still saves. Jesus Christ still saves. Number two. Number one, He never changes the way of salvation. Secondly, He never changes the requirement for repentance. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." He never changes the requirement of repentance. Jesus Christ preached repentance in His earthly ministry. In Luke chapter 13, verse 3, He said, Luke 13:3, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Repentance. There is still repentance in salvation. Some churches does not, they said, repentance is works. No, repentance is still part of salvation. Jesus Christ preaches repentance. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Let us look at the example of Peter, Apostle Peter. Apostle Peter and Judas Iscariot, they, both of them, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, when he repented, he smote his heart. I am sorry. Judas, he repented. Yeah, he repented. But what did he do? He hung himself. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51. In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, it tells us of a godly sorrow that bringeth repentance. This was about David. When he coveted Bathsheba, he committed sin against Bathsheba. He coveted Bathsheba. But remember, look at here. Even though David repented, he suffers the consequence of his sin. He suffers the consequence of his sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, 2 Samuel 12, 13 and 14, in verse 13 it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Look at verse 14. "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." So if we sin, Christian, if we sin, we give an occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the name of our Lord. If we sin, the unbelievers are looking at us. And you are putting the name of the Lord to shame. And not only that, let's continue reading. Verse 14, "The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." There is always a consequence when we sin. Let's put like this. All of us, I think, credit card. We have credit cards. Sin is just like credit card. Enjoy now, pay later. Yeah, when you go shopping, you don't have cash, credit card. Yeah. How much is that? 1,000 pounds. But here comes the due date. Oh, I cannot pay the full amount, just the minimum. Sin has a consequence. Repentance will always, so real sorrow, real repentance will always result in a change of behavior. Real sorrow, real repentance will always result in a change of behavior. So the requirement for repentance is a godly sorrow. He never changes the requirement for salvation. He never changes the requirement for repentance. Number three, he never changes his expectation of you and I as followers. He never changes his expectation of you and I as followers. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He expects us, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he expects us to deny ourselves. In verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." We deny ourselves. When you say deny ourselves, we must forget who we are. You have to forsake. We have to forsake our social status if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He expects us to deny ourselves. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, in the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Sacrifice is involved when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, sir, if you want to follow, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In the same book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 33, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Forsaketh not all that he hath. We have to set aside our personal desire behind and put God's desire ahead of our desire. That is what It means for forsake it, not all that he had. We have to put our personal desire behind and put God's desires ahead of our desire. He never changes his expectation. He still expects you to follow Jesus. He expects us to deny ourselves. He expects us to be fishers of men. The Lord does not change his expectation. He still wants us to become fishers of men. Each one of us. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. Matthew 4 and 19. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We have to be fishers of men. How do we become fishers of men? We become fishers of men by following the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I told you, we have to make Jesus as our example. We must follow his example. We must follow his commands. From the beginning up to then, all the commands we have to follow. We must follow also his will in our life. He expects us to deny ourselves. He expects us to be fishers of men. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, in the book of 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it says there, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man be found faithful. He expects us to be good stewards. Christ is still expecting us to be good stewards. What is a steward? A steward is someone who manages, right? The time that we have, the money that we have in our account, the good health that we have right now, we are just steward of this. So he expects us to be, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's give our time to the Lord. Let's put our desires behind. Let us put God's desire ahead of our desire. He expects us also to be committed to serving him until the day of our death or until Jesus comes. What a blessing to see Christians in their old age serving God. Pastor Buddy Smith, 75 years old, still serving the Lord. And he still expects that if we commit ourselves to serving God, no stopping. Not even a pause. Let's continue until the day we die or until the day the Lord Jesus comes. He's still expecting us to be committed to that. And he never changes that. So number one, he never changes the way of salvation. He never changes the requirement for repentance. He never changes his expectation of you and I as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fourthly, and lastly tonight, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The word there that I want to drive is, but is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Number four, he never changes the fact that he is long-suffering. He is long-suffering. He will go to a great length and measures to get you to serve him. He is still waiting for everyone that is saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We were not saved just to make our benches shiny, but we were saved. God saved us to do something. First and foremost, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Next is we have to serve God. Every opportunity in this church that you can give your life for service, give it. Give it. You know how to sing? You have good voice? Even if you don't know how to sing, even if you don't have good voice, the Bible says, joyful noise, isn't it? Give your life in service. Be present always. When you have soul winning, when we have door knocking, when you have a letter boxing, be present always. Be faithful. Because He still expects. He is long-suffering. He is waiting for you. He will do to a great length, if you are not saved tonight, to get you saved. He is still there. He's waiting. He's waiting. If you are not saved tonight, if you are not yet sure of your salvation, He has allowed you to live this long to this day so that you will be saved. So that you will be saved. He permitted this church to exist in this community so that you will hear the gospel and get saved. And not just only after that point that you get saved, you need also to serve God. And when you start serving God, continue, be committed to be continuous in serving God. Don't be an on and off Christian. God doesn't like an on and off Christian. He still expects you. He's long suffering. He preserved the Word of God for all these centuries so that you might hear the gospel and be saved. He died on the cross almost 2,000 years now so that we could have salvation, so that we could believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is long-suffering. He patiently waits. And I will end up this message tonight in conclusion with a song. May I request Kent, go. If you hear the song, "The Savior is Waiting," please listen carefully to the words. One last song I will sing to you tonight. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see in. If you'll take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. I know the whole song, it talks about salvation, but if you'll take one step toward, Christian, if God has spoken to you tonight to do something for the Lord, to serve Him, to witness to someone, there is someone that needs the gospel that you really need to tell, you need to settle that tonight. Promise to the Lord, not to me, but to God. So what more must He do? What more can He do? He is waiting. Won't you come to the changeless Christ? Christians, serve Him today. He is still waiting for you to give your life in service to our Lord Jesus Christ. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." We have a changeless Christ. Thank you.